I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this week's episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast.
My consciousness felt like it went over my chair. It was like I was put aside.
Wow. Yeah.
But they came through, and I would have bet my kid's life on it. Not that I would ever do that. I would have bet that my body was like flung over the side of the chair. But when I got the recording back, they were straight up. They sounded like they had an accent. It wasn't my voice. It wasn't my cadence. And they were, one of the first things they said when they came through is there are no problems. They're just perceptions of problems.
Ooh, I like that. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am so excited you're here. I love all the participation. We have risen up in the rankings to the top 100 podcasts in the United States, and it's all because of your sharing this movement, liking, subscribing, all the things. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And today I have a very special guest. She's not my sister, but she is my sister from another mister because we believe in a lot of the same principles. Welcome to the show, Christy Whitman.
Thank you so much. So great to be with you.
It is so wonderful to have you. And I'm going to tell you all about Christy. But first, I know she's a manifestation because when I was new on my spiritual journey, I went to the Agape bookstore in Los Angeles, California. And I picked up a book by a little known author named Christy Whitman, and it was called Perfect Pictures. And it was all about how when we think our life is supposed to be a certain way and it's not, we use it as an excuse to beat ourselves up and not be a high vibe person. And that's exactly what I used to do as a recovering perfectionist. Her first book did not become a New York Times bestseller like her later ones, but it definitely changed my life. So thank you for being part of my manifestation journey, Christy.
I love that, Rebecca. I remember we had that conversation. I was like, wow, that was so long ago. It's been 25 years since that book came out, and it's full circle because I'm actually with Michael Beckwith later this afternoon to interview for his podcast. So that's fun. So yeah, 25 years later, 7 books later, and still going strong.
Tell him I said hi. You know, he was my first wedding officiant. And I'm not asking for a refund. It's not Michael Beckwith's fault that the wedding didn't take.
That's funny.
I said hi. Well, let me tell my audience. She just said she's written 7 books. Christy is amazing. She is a transformational leader, a law of attraction expert, a 2-time New York Times bestselling author. She weaves together energy, math, energy mastery, manifestation, and spiritual alignment, not just to help people set goals, but to deeply transform their lives. She's a TED Talk speaker. She's been on the Today Show. I mean, she is such a superstar. We are going to dive into her journey, her roadmap for manifesting abundance, and the practical tools she uses to help people shift their energy, to create tangible changes and live the life of their dreams. So, Christy, how did you first discover the law of attraction and vibration, energy, this whole world of spirituality?
Well, I had moved to California and for the last bad boy that I dated, and within weeks of moving there, I found out that he was living a double life and had a girl that he was cheating with, you know, on the side. But through him, I needed to get my hair cut, and he knew I was introduced to a hairdresser, Janine. And Janine was cutting my hair, and I was just talking to her and, you know, observing her, and realized that she's different. And I didn't have this language back then, but she was so filled with light. But I was watching her, and I'm like, what is different about her? And I'm like, I want to be like that. And so I asked her, what do you do? Like, what, you're different. What do you do? And she just laughed, and she says, I meditate. Now, back then, and this is a really long time ago, this is over 30 years ago, the only person or thought of someone that meditated was like some guru guy with a long, you know, white beard and hair sitting on top of a mountain oming, because I had never met anybody that meditated. And here was this like hip chick from San Ramon, California, married, had a dog, and I'm like, meditate? What? So she introduced me to her meditation teacher, who happened to be very psychic, very intuitive. And I went to go see Melanie at her house, and there was clinky clanky music on, new age music, and, you know, angel statues everywhere and incense and candles. And I'm walking into this house and I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? And I sat down, not on a couch or a chair, but she had me sit on a cushion, and I, you know, sat down, and I'm just kind of observing this thing. And this big fat cat, Steve, comes over and starts purring up next to me. And I'm just like petting the cat. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? And she sat down and just looked deep into my soul. And she said, she didn't say anything. She just kept looking into my soul. And finally she said, you create your own reality. Mm. And in that moment, I was like, wow, like something just like, you know, came out. And I was like, yes, I knew this. Now, please understand, this is like 90s. This is the internet was just starting. There was no secret. There was no like, go on the internet and find out how do you create your own reality. There was nothing that was like law of attraction at that point, at least in my awareness. And so when she said, you create your own reality, I felt that opening, but then my mind immediately went, how do I create my own reality?
Yeah.
And she started with thoughts. She said, your thoughts, you're either repelling things from you or attracting things to you based on the way you think. And I thought, she could see again, it was like, I thought I was my thoughts. I didn't know that I had thoughts. I thought that everything that this mind was telling me was true. And I was like, wait, how, what? And she goes, okay, you need to go home for a week. I just want you to come back in a week, and I want you to pay attention to your thoughts. You're not your thoughts, but pay attention to what your thoughts are saying. And that just like was, what do you mean I'm not my thoughts? So I remember going home that day, and I was renting a room from a very strange woman in a house. And this room had like a closet with the mirrors on it. Yes. Remember back in the day, I walked by, and all of a sudden I just heard all these thoughts cutting me down, just berating me from my hair to my body, to my butt size, to everything. And I was like, oh my God, I had no present awareness ever before this, that I was so mean to myself. And I remember even saying, I called my girlfriend that I've known since seventh grade. I'm like, Dawn, I am so negative. And she's like, what are you talking about? You're one of the most positive, uplifting, bubbly people I know. And I'm thinking, okay, that doesn't compute, because something that you see is not going on inside. It's horrible inside of here. Like, I'm mean. Those thoughts are mean. And so I started becoming aware of those thoughts and then started changing them. And what I now help people do is it's not just about the thoughts, because thoughts run all the time. It's like, what are the words that we're using? What are we saying? Mm-hmm. Right? Because our words have creative power. Our words are like sparks of creation. And when we're speaking words of lack and limitation, we feel bad because anytime our consciousness is in lack, right? We're on the abundant show, right?
Yeah.
When we're talking about lack, we're thinking about lack, we don't feel good because lack always feels bad. But on the other side of the spectrum is abundance, and abundance always feels good. But most people can't get from lack to abundance because it's too much of a vibrational gap. So we have to find that middle ground, which is neutrality. Because one of the universal laws that I talk about is the law of sufficiency and abundance. It's not just law of abundance. It's law of sufficiency and abundance.
I've never heard of that. Explain to us what the law of sufficiency means.
So it is the law in the universe that when you are coming from at least sufficiency, so that middle ground, I like to say that there's three different buckets, if you will, states of being. When you're coming from a place of this is enough, I'm enough, this is sufficient, this is okay, then you're opening up to the possibilities of being able to think and feel and, you know, act and all that from a place of abundance. But most people are living in lack. And so you can't come from lack and create abundance. It defies you.
Ask people to go from lack to abundance. They go from lack to sufficiency, then to abundance mindset.
Yes. And
sufficiency is kind of like, if this is the best it gets, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're here. You're okay. You're excited for more. You're looking forward to what's coming. But you can't be from this sucks, I hate my life, and then, oh, but I'm looking forward to it. It's too much of a vibrational gap. So we need to get into that neutrality of sufficiency, that everything is okay, and then.
Okay.
Because our souls, for example, the non-physical, don't ever match or meet us as a human being when we're in lack. That's why we feel separated, alone, lonely. You know, all of the behaviors that we have that don't feel good, our soul is always with us, but it doesn't match. We cannot match the consciousness of our soul or non-physical or the divine when we are in lack. But when we come back into neutrality, we come back into sufficiency, then we're blending with our soul. Now we're blending with our higher power. Now we have access.
It reminds me of the Buddhist quote that happiness, the law of sufficiency does. Happiness is not getting what you want, but wanting what you have.
Mm.
So you're not trying to manifest anything big, but you just want what you have. You're in gratitude and acceptance of what you have.
Yeah. You're looking for all that you appreciate and all that feels good and all that is okay. It's sufficient.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's where manifestation, that's the juicy spot for manifestation. Like, this is good. I'm okay. I can find the positive aspects of where I am. And I'm excited for something different, better, or more.
Well, I like that you mentioned positive aspects because I'm sure you're a student of Abraham Hicks as I am. Yeah. So they say, like, when you're stuck and you're not able to manifest, just go general or to not even think about what you're trying to manifest because you're stuck in a negative loop. Like if you've been trying to manifest your soulmate for 20 years and you're starting to get frustrated and you're like, I don't think I'm going to manifest my soulmate, even though I'm saying all the affirmations and doing all the things, they're like, just don't even focus on your love life for a while. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I say there's a reason that you're in impatience or feeling you're because you're in lack. Right. And again, in order to create what you want, you need to be in sufficiency or abundance. So the second bucket, right? So if you're feeling like, oh, where is he? How come it's taking so long? You know, you need to go to what is the lack thoughts under there and give yourself a move into the sufficiency, which comes from compassion. You know, so it's like, even though he hasn't come yet, I have compassion for myself because I really am longing for a partner. But the thing that I say is like, why? Why do you want that partner? What do you want? You want the partner. Why do you want the partner? What are the reasons? Oh, because I'll be able, you know, have someone to go out with during the weekend, because I'll have a constant companion. I'll have someone to talk to. All right, great. Well, why is it that you want all that? Because then I'll have love. I'll have connection. I'll have support. Okay, well, those vibrations of love, connection, support, those exist right now because your soul is literally vibrating that right now. It's like keys on the piano, right? If we don't we don't go and play the piano. I have a piano over there. Nobody's playing it. It's not making any sounds. It's not doing anything. But the potential of those keys is enormous. It can play any song that we want it to play. But we're the ones that have to play. We're the ones that have to push those buttons, those keys, right? And when we are in our free will and choice mind, when we are focusing on what it is that we want, we're playing that key of fulfillment, which is what abundance is, mm-hmm. instead of the focus on in lack. So if there's a part of us that's focusing on, I want this, but you got to rephrase the but, because that's split energy.
So how do we rephrase the but? Like go back to the guy analogy. I want my soulmate, but all the good men are already taken.
So it's a belief that in lack, right? All the good men are taken.
How does someone get rid of it? Do they go general like Abraham says, or just not focus on it? Or do they work on trying to change their words? Like, how would you help someone if a student came to you with this belief?
So first of all, I would say bring compassion to those parts of you that think that there's limitation, right? Okay. Because in the world of a billion people, right? How many men do you want?
Yeah.
One, right? I mean, how many do you really want? All you need is one. All you want is one. So out of a billion people, do you think it's possible, just even possible, that there is one single available man that is your soulmate that would be available to you? Does that probability exist?
Yes. And right? I'm not speaking for myself because I have my soulmate, but they would say yes.
Right. So just even that probability softens the place of lack. That one person in all the billions of people on the planet right now, there's one person that is available to you. But there's more than that.
Yeah.
Right. Way more than that. But yes. just having your thoughts go from there's no available. I actually had that. I used to speak at the Learning Annex, and it used to make me laugh all the time, because I would have like a group of women and they'd be like, there is no single available men in the whole city of New York City. And I'd be like, what? By thinking that, you're closing off your possibilities. Could you be open to think that there are several, there are many? In a city of millions, there are so many. There are lots of single available men. And you start to think like that. I mean, I was married before. And when I got a divorce from my first husband, I was 35. And I had people saying that to me. And I didn't watch Sex and the City. And so you're more likely to get hit by lightning than to find a single available. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
If I want to have a partner, what benefit does it for me to think there are no single available men?
We're going to hold that thought and go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we are going to talk about what is your definition of energy mastery? What does that mean? And what are some practices you recommend for energy mastery? Thank you everyone for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. And we'll be right back. Let's be real. It shouldn't feel so hard to feel just functional. You eat right, you move your body, you check all the boxes, but if you're still hitting that midday crash or waking up feeling already drained, your body might need cellular support. That's where Vita Essentials comes in. It's a cutting-edge NMN supplement that helps your body naturally produce NAD, the molecule that powers your cells and fuels your energy. This isn't a quick fix. It's a long-term mitochondrial strength in every capsule. So if you want sustained energy for clear focus and real vitality, try Vita Essentials and feel that shift from the inside out. Go to the show notes to grab your discount code.
Hey, beautiful soul. It's Rebecca here, your magnetic abundance mentor. If you've been feeling stuck, burned out, or like you're living a life that's fine, but not fabulous, we need to talk. My one-on-one coaching isn't just your typical check the boxes program. It's a total mind, body, soul, and money makeover customized just for your goals. Today will unlock your next level abundance in love, health, wealth, and happiness. You'll leave every session feeling centered, confident, and wildly magnetic to everything you desire. So if you're ready to stop playing small and start living the bold, balanced life you know you're meant for, let's do this. Schedule your breakthrough call today. It's free, it's fun, and it might just change everything.
Imagine this, waking up in your own private villa, breathing in the fresh air of Ensenada, Mexico, starting your day with yoga under the open sky, followed by a gentle hike through lavender fields, then sitting down to the most nourishing organic farm-to-table meal, all while being guided through my signature 7 pillars of abundance to completely set yourself up for success, not only for the rest of 2025, but beyond. This is the Manifest Your Dream Life Retreat, a luxurious, transformative experience happening this fall at the world-class Monte Valle Resort. And because you're a podcast listener, I have something extra special just for you. You'll receive a complimentary spa massage and a vitamin drip therapy treatment, because your healing and your glow deserve priority. Spots are intentionally limited to keep it intimate and powerful, and podcast listeners get first access. So go ahead and head to the show notes and claim your spot before it sells out. This is your season to rest, receive, and manifest your dream life. See you in Mexico.
Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We're taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant with best-selling author, spiritual coach, Christy Whitman. Christy, what is the definition of energy mastery?
So everything is energy, right? Everything in our universe. We know this now from quantum physics. We know this from modern science. Crack open an atom, you got energy. Well, we ourselves are energy. Our thoughts are energy. Our emotions are energy. So we are an energy receiver. We're receiving energy all day, every day. We're receiving it from the third dimension. We can receive it from higher self. We're always receiving energy. So we're an energy receiver. We're an energy container. We always are holding some type of energy within ourselves. We have to, because we're energy. And then we're also energy transmitters. So mastering your energy is being deliberate in what energy am I bringing in? Am I just kind of running around by default and picking up on the energy and the worries and the fears of everybody else? Or am I deliberately bringing in the frequencies and the vibrations that I want to? So connecting with, today I want to feel abundant, and bringing in that energy of what abundance feels like, and feeling as if a waterfall of light is pouring through you, and that vibration of abundance is then filling up your container, your mind, your mental body, your emotions, your emotional body, your physical body, and then your energy body. You're a container of energy. And then from there, mastering your energy is really mastering your consciousness. And our consciousness is broken down into 5 things. We've already been talking about that in the first segment, our words. Our words are our energy. When we speak a word, we say, I can't, you've spoken a word, which then constricts your body. When you say, I can, you've opened up yourself to possibilities, right? Last segment, there aren't any, there's no available, right? That's coming from lack, which is constrictive instead of opening and expansive. So our words are really important. Our words transmit energy. Our thoughts transmit energy. Our beliefs, which really are our pictures, our imagination, right? What we hold, our perspective, our emotions, either we're processing them or we're stuffing them down, right? Our emotions, and then our actions. So we've got words, thoughts, perspectives, beliefs, emotions, and actions. When we are mastering, if we hear ourselves say a negative thought, what can we replace it with? Can we find, as Abraham says, right? Can I find a better feeling thought?
Yeah. So how can we, in a compassionate, loving way, when we hear ourselves having negative words, thoughts, beliefs, emotions, or actions, how do we go back to the abundance mindset?
Okay. So again, if we're using the three different steps, right, three different buckets, if you're saying something that's coming from lack, you want to give yourself compassion. So you're coming back to neutrality. So compassion looks like this in three different ways. You can think about, this is where prayer, intention, what you focus on, asking, you know, asking to feel that compassion, asking to feel the light, the support, letting yourself feel that energy, feel your soul's light all around you. That's one way. Second is do something somatic. I'd like to give myself a hug. Give yourself a hug. Everybody right now, just give yourself a hug.
This good.
Yeah. Giving yourself a hug, it's like you're taking your attention outward and bringing all your attention inward to you. It's self-soothing. It releases the limbic system, that whole survival, fight, flight, freeze, which comes from lack. It releases the emotions. It releases the nervous system. It's like everything calms down because you're soothing yourself. Now, while you're in the hug, the third part is what you command or what you affirm. I'm okay. It's okay. You've got this, right? It's okay. Think this way instead. Instead of I don't have enough, I have what I need right now. I have what I need right now. And then from there, because now you're in the second bucket, from there to get into abundance, it's like now, if I'm okay right now, what would I love?
Ooh, what would I love? Question. To go from I'm okay to what would I love?
Yeah. I'm okay. My needs are met. Everything's going to be okay. I have food in my refrigerator. If I don't, there's food at the grocery store. I have enough money for this moment right here. What would I love? I'd love to have an overabundance of money flowing in. I'd love to have my partner, you know, I'd love to have more success. I would love to have that vacation. Because as soon as you have your focus, your imagination on what you would love, you feel good. So now you're already, as we said in the very beginning, lack feels bad, abundance feels good. When you are thinking about, when your consciousness is focused on what you would love, you're in abundance. You feel good.
Mm-hmm. So how does this relate to your book, which I'm sure is going to be another New York Times bestseller, The Flow Factor?
Yes, I'll show this to everybody. It's coming out, The Flow Factor. How it relates is it's everything we're talking about. I talk about how we get into survival mode. You know, all of us are human beings, right? And we are no different than a coyote or a bunny or a turtle. We all have this instinct to have fight, flight, freeze, and then even humans as fawn. And these are survival instincts that when we feel or when we are in lack, when something becomes a threat, whether it's now or has been in the past, when something is threatening us, we go into that mode, right? I'm either going to fight or I'm going to resist in my mind. And we don't even have to have a physical threat. We could have a thought that puts us in survival mode and now we're resisting or we're freezing or we're like, I'm out of here, right? So that all comes from lack and the drama triangle. I like to call it the triangle of lack because it's like once you're in there, unless you bring yourself into neutrality with compassion, it's really hard to get out of there.
What's the drama triangle?
The drama triangle is a psychological interpretation that Stephen Cartman in the 60s brought about. And it's the way that all of us humans relate with each other. We see that from when we were kids, like Cinderella, right? The drama triangle has three roles. You've got the victim. So Cinderella was a victim. You've got the persecutor, the bad guy, the wicked stepwitch, mother, right? And then you've got the rescuer, the Prince Charming. You know, even in comic books, right? You've got Batman. So Batman's the hero, right? He's the rescuer. You've got the city of Gotham, that something's under attack. That's the victim. And then you got the Penguin or whatever, you know, bad guy is in that particular episode. So in all of our stories, you've got someone's the victim, someone's the bad guy, and someone's the rescuer. And that happens within ourselves all the time. We do that with money. We do that with food. We do that with our health. We do that with our success or opportunities. And so when you understand this trapped way, this lack way of thinking and how to get out, you're now in neutrality, you're empowered, you're in the flow, and now you can create the abundance, the success, the love, the support, the well-being, whatever it is that you want. And so in this book, in the back of the book, it's got an entire appendix of energy mastery processes. So whether it's your mind is stuck on something, how do you master your energy and get off that particular thought or pattern or belief? Or if your emotions are stuck, or if you got something going on in your physical body, how do you process that? And then even from a, how do you get connected to your spiritual body? How do you get connected to that pure positive energy that's always radiating, you know, love and adoration and abundance to us? How do we as a human with our free will and choice find alignment with that part?
So how would you define flow?
Flow is pure, flow feels good, right? Yeah. Flow just flows, it feels good. I mean, that's just the bottom line cliff note version of what flow is. Flow is, it is us. It is who we are. Flow is our source. It's pure positive energy. And it's always for us and with us. It likes to move fast. You know, it's creative. It's life-giving. So flow is the jam. We all want flow.
So this is a show with a lot of high achievers. They're, you know, running around. They want to be high achieving, but in a balanced spiritual way. And maybe they only have 10 minutes a day and you have all these beautiful practices. And I know everyone's different, but what is like your greatest hits? If somebody had only about 10, maybe 15 minutes max a day to do your technique of energy mastery and getting into their flow factor, what are some basic things you'd recommend they do?
Well, you're going to love this because you don't need to even do 10 to 15 minutes a day. You do it while you're during your day. So for example, we don't just drink a sip of water. We drink water all day. We drink something all day long, right? We don't just go to the bathroom once. We have several times. We don't just eat once. We do. So energy mastery is the same thing. It becomes part of your natural rhythm of life. And one of them is literally like you could be driving in your car. You could be standing at the, you know, the gas station pumping gas in your car. You could be at the grocery store. You could be in a meeting and telling yourself and focusing on what do I want? Mm-hmm. Why do I want it? And how do I want to feel? And then imagining you're the piano player. If I'm like, I want to feel abundant, focus on the word abundant. Focus on what would feel good. What would you love, right? You can do that in any moment. You could be driving going, what would I love? Oh, I love that. I love that. I would love that. Just by focusing your mind on what you would love, what would feel good, what's pleasing to you. That's just one process because our mind has, remember we talked about those five aspects, right? Words, thoughts, perspectives, emotions, and actions. Well, three of those things are from the mind. Yeah. So you get your mind focusing on what you want and how it will feel and the having of it, not the absence of it. Now your mind is going. And because our mental body and our emotional body are so connected, it's like happens instantaneously, you're going to feel good, right? Now you got your mental body and your emotional body all in alignment, feeling good. It affects the biochemicals in your actual body. So you got your mental body, emotional body, physical body, all in alignment, feeling the energy. Now you're in full alignment. Now you're feeling good.
What is your go-to affirmation or mantra when you feel out of alignment these days?
I am enough. I will literally grab myself, hug myself and say, I am enough. 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 Doesn't matter what he says, I am enough. Doesn't matter what she's thinking, I am enough. I am enough. I am enough. Now, what would I love? What would I love? I would love this.
What if what you would love is something that's bad for you? Like I would love an ice cream cone.
Doesn't mean you have to go eat the ice cream cone. I would love to go eat an ice cream cone. Yeah, the thought of eating an ice cream cone is pleasing. Do you have to go eat it? You know, I would love to go buy a, you know, I don't know, a Bugatti. Am I going to go buy it?
But maybe that just gets you out of that negative loop.
Exactly.
I love it.
I don't know where a Bugatti came from, but that's my
I know, right? So not your brand, but you know what? Maybe there's a Bugatti in your future when the Flow Factor sells so many copies. So
that wouldn't even be my car of choice. There's so many others. So I have no idea where that came. My son likes Bugattis. I think that's
well, where that we're going to talk from. About that. Actually, that's going to lead me to my next question after this break, because you have been channeling a group called the Quantum, what is it?
Quantum Council of Light.
The Quantum Council of Light. Maybe it came from them. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about who and what Christy channels. Thank you for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show.
Achievers know this. Just because you can push through fatigue doesn't mean you should. We've been told that exhaustion is normal, especially in midlife, but it's not. Vita Essentials is an NMN supplement that helps your body naturally produce NAD+, boosting mitochondrial health, mental clarity, and cellular energy. This formula isn't just filler-free. It's packed with clinically selected ingredients like CoQ10, paraxanthine, and resveratrol. If you're ready to supplement smarter, not harder, then Vita Essentials is for you. Because peak performance in midlife is not only possible, it's powerful. What if your skincare did more than just smooth fine lines or give you a glow? What if it helped you feel calmer, clearer, and more like yourself every single day? That's exactly what I found with Skin to Mind, a luxurious three-step ritual that doesn't just treat your skin, it supports your whole mental health. In just three easy steps morning and night, I feel like I'm giving my nervous system a reset and my skin a second chance. No overwhelm, no 10-step routine. Just intentional, elevated skincare that makes you look radiant and feel deeply grounded. Because when you feel good in your skin, everything else flows. Ready to experience skincare that loves you back? Head to the show notes for your exclusive discount code on Skin to Mind and step into your new favorite ritual.
Okay, can I be real for a second? You're out there crushing it in some areas of your life, but in others, it's like a hot mess express. Sound familiar? Here's the thing. You're not just meant to survive, you're meant to thrive. And that's exactly what I help my clients do in my coaching program. Together, we'll tackle all seven pillars of abundance, because who wants killer abs but a dumpster fire of a bank account? Or a thriving career, but zero in the romance department? Yeah, no thanks. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no awkward sales pitch, just you, me, and a chance to figure out why you're stuck and how to get unstuck. So stop doom scrolling and start doing something about it. Click the link in the show notes and let's start giving you your best, most bougie life. You in?
Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. We're going from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant with best-selling author, spiritual teacher, Christy Whitman. So tell us about channeling the Quantum Council of Light. How did you realize you were channeling? And what is the Quantum Council of Light? And what are some of the biggest messages you've gotten?
Well, so you're going to love this, to talking about full circle again, Rebecca. One of the first times I started channeling, if you will, is over 25 years ago when I was meditating at night and I saw the cover. I just looked up and there it is, the cover of Perfect Pictures. I saw the exact cover and everything. And it had Perfect Pictures by Christy Whitman. So there was this image that was given to me. And then the pages of the book started opening and flowing. And so I went to sleep. 1:05 in the morning, I was woken up by this voice, and it was clear that it was not mine because it was giving me advice for what I needed at the time. And it was like the first sentence, the first paragraph, and it was just talking. And no matter if I tried to shut it up, it wouldn't stop. It was just kept talking. So I got up and I went into my office and I took out a notepad and I just started writing what I was hearing, because what I was hearing was helpful. So I started writing it, and then all of a sudden my hand just went automatic, and one hand was turning the pages while the other one was like writing faster than I could even understand what it was happening. It was like, and it was just happening. 7 nights in a row that happened, and that became my first book. So every time I've written a book.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Every time I've written a book, doesn't matter any of the books that I've written. I was on a cruise ship at 3:00 in the morning and woke up and I heard, get your pen and pad. And so I grabbed my journal, grabbed my pen. My kids were, you know, in the room. My husband was in the other room. So I went into the bathroom. I put stacks of, you know, towels on the linoleum, cold linoleum floor in the little tiny, you know, bathroom of the cruise ship. And I just started writing. And once I started, it was like, you know, just started going. Same thing with The Art of Having It All. You know, I had a woman tell me that women can't have it all, and it really pissed me off. And it got me, my blood boiling, that why would you argue for women's limitations when we can have it all, and you don't know what my it and my all is. And so how can you tell me that I can't have it or anybody else can't have it? We can create what we love in all aspects of our lives, and that's having it all. And I went back to my room and I mean, it just started coming. So that was the first aspect of scribing or channeling that I was getting. And then throughout the years, as I was working with clients, I would hear them say something to me, like really, really clear, like tell her to go to the doctor. And I'm like, and I'm not one to run to a doctor. I mean, they're great. We need them, but it's not like if I get a headache, I'll put peppermint oil on. You know what I mean? I'm not like one to go. I'm not like, oh, something's wrong. And so I'm like, I am not going to tell her that. And they're like, tell her. And they were persistent. Tell her, tell her. So finally I told this woman, we were not even on video together. It was back in the day when we had teleseminars. And I said to her, I go, okay, don't kill the messenger, but they are telling me to tell you to go to your doctor and get your hips checked. And she's like, why? I don't have any pain in my hips. I'm like, I don't know. They're just telling me, and they're persistent, because I told them I didn't want to tell you, and they are telling me to tell you. That week she went to the doctor, found out she had cancer in her hips. Before like early detection, she didn't even have to go through chemo or any of that, got it before it, any problem happened. So there'd be moments where all of a sudden my hands would go up. And again, this is through teleseminar, so it wasn't anything. And my hands would go up and I would see this woman, and I could have like, it was like energy coming through my hands, like that felt like fire. And the woman would say, did you just put your hands around my neck? And I'm like, yeah. And I was in Montreal at the time and she was in Seattle, Washington. And she goes, I woke up with a horrible crick in my neck. Like I have a really stiff neck. And I'm like, well, my hands went up and I can't put them down. So I'm just going to hang out here until they're done. And as soon as my hands dropped, she's like, oh my God, thank you. That feels so much better. Like these were like just moments in time. So every time I would lean in and develop this trust and develop this, you know, just what they say. I mean, if I don't listen to them, it doesn't work out well. And every time I do, it works out well. So I was driving on the freeway. This is in 2018. And all of a sudden I get this, like, it was like the sky opened up and I could visually see, and I was hearing, you need to start Sacred Circle of Light. And I'm like, what's that? Go on Zoom, have people come each week, help them heal their, you know, whatever happens, life happens, get in an argument with your husband, your kid pisses you off, right? Whatever happens. So help them heal. Okay. So I offered it to my community. I had about 8 women that came into the experience. And one day it was the very last woman that was going, and I could hear like tons of voices. It wasn't like one unified voice like I normally would hear. It was almost as if my 2 kids and my husband and the dog and everybody was talking to me at once. I was like, I can't. And my consciousness felt like it went over my chair. It was like I was put aside.
Wow. Yeah.
But But they came through, and I would have bet my kid's life on it. Not that I would ever do that. I would have bet that my body was like flung over the side of the chair. But when I got the recording back, they were straight up. They sounded like they had an accent. It wasn't my voice. It wasn't my cadence. And they were, one of the first things they said when they came through is there are no problems. They're just perceptions of problems.
Ooh, I like that.
And that's the wisdom that comes from them. So like Abraham, right? We were talking about Abraham, Esther. It's interesting too, Rebecca, because just about a couple of years before that, I used to do this big event for my coaches called the Quantum Success in Business. And I would plan 6 months in advance, everything I would do and who was going to come. And, you know, this one time I got on stage and I was like, I had rehearsed this so many times. Like, I feel like it was already over. And here I was just getting on stage. And I said to all my coaches, I'm like, I have Esther envy. Cause she could just show up and go, hi, bye, you know, and then Abraham does all the work. She doesn't have to do anything other than let them come through her. Right. And so here I am now, I am channeling the council. So they come through and their wisdom, and they help me with the contents in this book, because when I first started channeling them, they were like, we're going to teach about energy mastery. Cause each of you is all of you are energy, and your thoughts are energy, your words are energy, your emotions are energy, and you need to know how to master your energy on planet Earth in this third dimension in order to manifest and attract what you want.
So thank you for sharing those stories. So is it still the same when you write a book, you still just do it on a legal pad and you're channeling?
Yes, exactly.
It comes through you.
It does. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. This book was, I had a university in Europe come to me and say, we want to give you a PhD for your public works. And I thought, oh, okay, cool. I'll go for a PhD, Dr. Christie. That'll be cool. Right. And so I started the process. And one of the questions they asked me was, what is the thread through with all of your books, which is Universal Laws and Energy? Mm-hmm. And what haven't you said yet? And as soon as they asked me that question, counsel's like, let's go, you know, and it was like all the information. I was like, there's your thesis, right? But then it was like, it just all came. But then I went to go do the formatting and going back to school and having to look, I was like, this is not in flow. But what is in flow is writing a book. So I decided to not go for my PhD and write the book instead. And so that's how this one was born. Because from my last book, The Desire Factor, I was like, I think I'm done, you know, which yeah. is funny because, you know, the same thing when Taming Your Alpha Bitch and The Art of Having It All went on the New York Times, I had literary agents coming to me say, what's your next book? And I'm like, I don't know. It hasn't revealed itself. Like, it hasn't.
Oh my God. Let's talk about Tame Your Alpha Bitch. Ah. I love that title. And this is our audience. There's a lot of alpha bitches listening to you.
And my people.
And people. What are some tips to tame your alpha bitch? Is it, I think maybe this is going to lead into your negative self-talk and your wonderful freebie that you're going to give us. So maybe, yeah, let's talk about tame your alpha bitch. What is
yeah, that? So taming your alpha bitch is really about, you know, like as women, we, and especially our generation, in order to be powerful, we had to be and act like men. And yet it's really interesting because as we are aggressive, like a man gets praised for that. We're considered a bitch, mm-hmm. right? Right. If we're competitive, women are very different competitive wise with each other than men are. Like, we're like, oh, her ring is bigger than mine, or her butt is smaller than mine, or, you know, we get very personal, whereas men don't. And mm-hmm. so this whole thing about female competition, you know, we're constantly, it's like one up, one down. It's like a scorecard in our heads of, you know, am I okay? Because, well, my, you know, backswing is better than hers. My downward dog is better than hers, right? Right? We do that all the time.
So true. Oh. In yoga class, where you're supposed to be there for spirituality, women compare.
True. Totally. Yeah. My scorpion is better than her. You know, we do this all the time. And so that whole thing of competition mm-hmm. is like being in, we talk about abundance, right? when you're comparing and in competition, you're not in abundance because that comes from lack. Yes. That whole entire thing is, oh, she gets to have it and I don't. Instead of being inspired by someone that is feminine and beautiful and successful, you get to go, wow, look at her. Look what she has. Oh, she has a man that I would, oh, you know, we go, oh, she has it. I can't. She's better than I am. I can't. Instead, be inspired by somebody else having what you want and going, hey, she's an example that if she can achieve that, if she can have that, if she can earn that, if she can find that, I can too. Right? That's the shift.
Exactly. And seagulls don't hang out with doves. So if someone is even in your awareness that is achieving something you want, that means you're in that vibration and you can do it too. Or you wouldn't even know somebody who could achieve what it is that you want.
Yeah. I love that. I've never heard that before. Seagulls don't hang out with doves. That's so true. Really, yeah. Really true.
I mean, birds of a feather flock together. The fact that you're on my show is inspiring me. Like, oh my God, I have this best-selling author on my show, spiritual coach. Maybe I can one day do something like this. You know what I'm saying? So yes. You're one of my inspirations. And I think there's been a big paradigm shift post-feminism. Feminism was great for equal pay for equal work, but then socially and culturally, women, especially our generation, Generation X, we were competing for men's approval, for being younger, sexier, thinner, whatever. And that's all the patriarchy. That's all what men want us to be. And I think personally, I've learned a lot from the millennials and Gen Z. They have taught our generation how to be more of a sisterhood and how to collaborate and cheer each other on. And we got the memo. Like, look at us, Gen Xers. We're collaborating right now on this show. So I love that the energy is changing and that alpha women are learning to collaborate and lift each other up. And it is just such a relief not to have to compete with other women 24/7, isn't it?
It is. It is. And there's a lot more to it, too. Like when we're in trying to be in control, you know, when we've got this whole thing, I have to control everything, we're in fear, we're in lack. And so when we understand that, can be more in allowing and more in alignment than trying to control everyone or anything. So that's just another aspect about it. And, you know, being in drama, like I talked about earlier, being in the drama triangle, you know, having like, oh, I can't have what I want, or even beating yourself up and being the persecutor, judging yourself, you know, that's where the flow factor really comes in, because the minute we judge ourselves or somebody else, we're out of alignment. And even though we think like, oh, I'm judging them, I've never met them, I don't even know them, when we're the one judging, it takes us out of alignment. And so to come back into compassion for ourselves in that space of neutrality, now we can focus on, well, what do I want? What do I love? Who do I want to be around? What, you know, what do I want to be influenced by? It's important to get back into flow. And we do that by our words, right? My meditation teacher, Melanie, all those years ago, God bless Melanie.
I'm gonna ask you that. What's her name? And what are some of your favorite spiritual teachers or books that really change your life? We're going to end with that question. And then we'll talk about your amazing freebie.
Awesome. So yeah, Melanie Flores, she's no longer on the planet. She was the first person that was just so intuitive and psychic and, you know, taught me about myself and this attracting things. She's an incredible teacher. Other ones you'd mentioned, Abraham Hicks. I learned about them in the, I want to say it was the early 90s, and became just the foundation for my understanding of law of attraction. Terry Cole Whitaker was also one of my earliest teachers, taught me about the different laws, like the law of sufficiency and abundance. And, you know, for 25 years, I've been teaching about the seven essential laws. And these were the teachers that were, I, you know, learned about that. Deepak Chopra, of course, Wayne Dyer, love Wayne Dyer, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson. You know, one of my earliest teachers of, you know, understanding what love and fear is, and understanding that we're either in love or we're in fear, taking it deeper, fear comes from lack. So understanding the law of sufficiency and abundance, you understand that if I'm feeling bad, whether it's fear control or anything else I'm doing, I am in lack, and that I have the ability to change that. I have the ability to come back into neutrality, into sufficiency, so that I'm in the vibration of abundance.
Speaking of Marianne Williamson, I love that she teaches from A Course in Miracles. Have you done A Course in Miracles, the workbook?
I have, many, many, many years ago. And I used to listen to her cassette tapes as I was a pharmaceutical sales rep. I would have my cassettes in my car listening to her different lectures and all that. She actually endorsed the desire factor. That was like a desire factor that I had for years. And she's on the front cover of the desire factor. So she's amazing and grateful for her work, her foundational work.
Yeah, we are definitely standing on her shoulders. And what other books do you love? Like, what books changed your life?
Ask and It Is Given is one of those books that absolutely changed my life. I've read that so many different times by Abraham Hicks. I love The Four Agreements.
That's my favorite spiritual book.
Yes. I mean, it's so practical. Don't take anything personally. Be impeccable with your word, right? Like, it's just practical things that we can do that makes just so much sense. And always do your best, and your best is going to be different from day to day, right? It's like, I mean, these are just practical things that us as human beings can do and achieve. I'll have to say one other book. There was a book by Barbara DeAngelis. She was also one of my earliest teachers, because my sister gave me my very first personal development book. And I was in a relationship at the time, and it was called Are You the One for Me? Knowing Who's Right and Avoiding Who's Wrong. And that book helped me realize that the man I was engaged to was not the right man for me. And so, but while I was hanging out with him and in a relationship with him, she came out with a book called Real Moments. And Real Moments was for me that power of now. You know, I had never really understood being in the present moment because I was always so focused on the past or, you know, wanting to achieve my future. And having these real moments, like really being present, like I am right now, you know, the fullness of who I am is fully in this now moment, and I'm enjoying it. And I'm just thrilled to be here with you. And, you know, like, that's what life's all about. And the more real moments we can have, that's where the joy is. And the more we focus on those real moments, those present moment experiences, you know, that's what our day is. That's what our week is. That's what our month and our year is. That's what our life becomes. So that was a really huge book that shifted me too, is Real Moments by Barbara DeAngelis.
Well, I am enjoying this present moment so much, and we're both showing up fully ready to play and connect and serve. And it's just been such a beautiful conversation. I know my listeners are going to want to stay in touch with you, grab all your books, especially The Flow Factor. How can they find you, get your books, get this wonderful gift that you're going to tell us about?
Awesome. So you can go to theflowfactorbook.com. As a matter of fact, when you go buy a book wherever you want, local bookstore, any place that you love to buy your books, when you go to theflowfactorbook.com, you'll enter in your name and information, and we're going to give you all of the audios that are in the back of the appendix. Because I don't know about you, Rebecca, but when I'm reading a book and it says, okay, close your eyes, and I'm like, okay, wait, how do I close my eyes and then go to the next part, right? So I recorded all of the processes so you can have them as an audio.
Great.
And be able to do the audio, do the processes, so you don't have to go refer to the book. I mean, you can if you want, because they're in there and they're great. But it is helpful to have the audios also. So theflowfactorbook.com. But the free gift I'm giving everybody is at watchyourwords.com. We've been talking about our words spark creation, right? It says in the Bible, in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was good. So when we are speaking words that feel good, then we're creating good. When we're speaking words that feel bad, then we're creating more of lack. And so I had people for years saying, where do you start? Like, where does someone start with like these esoteric spiritual principles? And I said, you got to watch your words. So I created a 30-day, they're actually 30 videos. You can binge them all at once if you want, but they're about 2 to 3 minutes in length. And they tell you what not to say. So like the word of the day or the word of the video, what not to say, why, and what to say instead. And at the end of the program, you get a PDF of all 30 words and phrases that you want to avoid, and then what to say instead. Because knowing these words, when you say them, now if I hear somebody say it, I'm like, you know, if I even say it, right, it's like, ugh. So, I mean, my son, Maxim, said the other day, he's like, oh, he's a big soccer player, right? And he's like, oh, I can't shoot anymore. And I'm like, Max, you can't say can't. Like, you don't want to say can't, because if the minute you say I can't do something, you're right. And
exactly.
You don't. Yeah. So that's just one of the 30 words and phrases. And when you're aware of, and that we talk in the video, I'm very interactive. I want you to say can't, or I can't afford, or I can't do this, and see how you feel in your body. And then say the other, right? I prefer, or what I would love. And then see how you feel in your body. And you get to have an experience with me going through this, so that it doesn't just become a word that you're not supposed to say. It becomes a visceral experience where you're like, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to shift my language to that. And then you see things shift in your life.
So like for your son, instead of saying, I can't shoot, what would he say instead?
He'd say, I am a good player. I can shoot. I am good. Right. And so I told him, I said, instead of saying you can't, say that many times I have, just to get him in neutrality. You know what? Many times I have shot the ball and made it and scored. Many times.
I love that.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
There has been many times that I have, because that we go into all or nothing thinking, we go, I can't. Well, that's not true. You can and you have. So think about the times that you did. And then I told him, see yourself, close your eyes. See yourself, there's the ball, there's the goal. See yourself kicking the ball exactly where you want it to go into the goal. Do you see that? Yeah. All right, do it again. See yourself kicking the ball, it going into the goal. See yourself doing that. Now, how do you feel? Good. I mean, he's a teenage boy, he doesn't have much descriptive language, right? Good. Yep. You know, but I'm like, now feel a success of that. Feel yourself celebrating and succeeding because of the fact you kicked the ball, it went in the goal. Everybody's celebrating, right? That shifts everything. But the minute you let yourself or anybody else get away with, you know, it's easy because it was my son, you know, I'm not going to walk up to somebody else I don't know. It's don't say can't, you know, it's a little intrusive. But with him, when he came in and he had such emotion with it, you know, such disappointment with it, it's like, man, if you want that to be your reality, keep saying it. But I know that you don't want it to be a reality. So let's shift this.
Amazing. Well, everybody grab the Flow Factor. When does it come out? I can't wait to read it.
September 23rd.
Oh my God.
Right around the corner.
Yeah. By the time you hear this podcast, it'll probably be out. So perfect timing. Thank you so much, Christy, for being a new friend. I hope we stay in touch. And I just love this conversation and everything you're putting into the world. And thank you, listeners, for being a part of this beautiful movement that you can achieve happiness and success through aligning your life in the 7 pillars of abundance. You do not have to be burned out and exhausted and overwhelmed all the time. You can be successful through alignment, not the hustle and grind. We will see you on the next episode. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.
Hey there, it's Rebecca, your magnetic abundance mentor. Let me ask you something. Are you feeling stuck, burned out, or like life just isn't as juicy as you know it can be? If you're nodding right along, it's time for a breakthrough. My coaching program is designed to help you align your life in all 7 pillars of abundance: spiritual, physical, emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial, so you can finally live that big, bold, sexy, and adventurous life you deserve. And here's the best part. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no sales gimmicks, just a genuine chance to experience my coaching firsthand and get crystal clear on what is next for you.
Because your best life is not a someday thing, it's a right now thing. So click the link in the show notes to book your breakthrough call and let's start making magic together. Your next level is calling you.
Have you ever opened your eyes and already felt drained or hit a wall by 2 p.m. even after doing all the biohacks? You're not alone. Thousands of us are walking around with low cellular energy and we don't even know it. That's why I take Vita Essentials. It's a high quality NMN supplement that helps your body naturally produce NAD+, the molecule that powers your mitochondria, brain, and body. One or two capsules a day equals long-term energy, clarity, and strength from the inside out. Because running on empty is not a vibe I'm bringing into this next chapter, go ahead and grab a discount in the show notes.